good to see everyone here. It's good that we can gather together to worship our God. As we sat here, I believe we've been benefited already by what we have done. Norm talked about in class this morning the feasts of Israel and how they were a recognition of what God had done and was doing among them, and it was a celebration, a joyful celebration, as they reflected upon God. And we were able to experience that very thing this morning as we partook of the Lord's Supper. And we thought back to what God did for us and continues to do for us. Appreciate so much the songs that were led that brought us back to the cross and made us think about the cross and dwell on the cross. You know, sometimes I make it to the song leader and tell them my sermon topic, and sometimes I don't. Mike does a better job at that than I do. I'm not going to be talking about the cross specifically this morning, but if you think about whatever subject I'm going to be talking about, we really need to frame that and think about and look at that through the lens of the cross, don't we? That is so pivotal for whatever it is, whether I be talking about marriage or godly living. All of those things are so important. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, everything that we do, everything that we speak and how we live should be viewed through the cross. So I appreciate very much the songs that were led this morning as they caused us to reflect upon Jesus Christ. I'd like to talk this morning on a passage from Matthew chapter 19. And it's a passage probably that's been overlooked. When I talk about Matthew chapter 19, you might think about marriage and divorce. And Jesus or talking about the fact that marriage is for a lifetime and divorce should be avoided if possible. You might think that I'd be talking about the rich young ruler. Both of those are excellent lessons to talk about. But I want to look at a section of Scripture that's sandwiched in between those two sections. In Matthew 19 and verse 13, there Jesus talks about the children. And he says, "Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people. But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of heaven.' He laid his hands on them and went away." Jesus stated, "Let the children come to me." And I'd like to talk about that for just a few moments this morning. You know, there's a tendency to shoo children away. I know that if I've been talking and engaged in an adult conversation with somebody here at church, and you might have a child that comes up, starts tugging on your leg, or wants to jump in between, a lot of times you'll say, "Well, there's a place for that, and I'm not talking against that." And so we have a tendency sometimes to just put children to the side. And I can see the disciples here. I can see what they were doing and what they were thinking. Jesus was an extremely important person. He was an extremely busy person. And if I were to prioritize his list, you know, I might not have put having children come up to him at the top of the list. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." Jesus placed importance upon children. First thing I want to notice from this text is just the very simple fact that Jesus loves the little children. You know, we sing a song to the effect sometimes. Jesus loves the little children. And we're going to be talking a little bit about our responsibility in teaching our children and talking to our children. And that's one of the first things that we should tell them. Jesus loves you. You know, children can experience and know that love as we love them. Just like we love you and care for you, that's how Jesus loves you and cares for you. Notice also that his concern and his care for the children is seen in the fact that he prayed for the children. It says in verse 13 that the children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. That he might pray. And I take this to be praying for the children. The parents were concerned and saw Jesus as the Savior and asked that he would pray for their children. You know, prayer really reveals what is foremost in our hearts. There are times, certainly, that we need to go to God and pour out our heart to God about our own selves, and about growing into a relationship with Him, and about the struggles that we face. But prayer shouldn't always just be about us. Prayer should also be about others. As we love others and care for others, for the sick among our number, for the needs of others, we need to be praying about them. Parents also need to be praying for and about their children. It should be a constant prayer. And that reflects really the care that you have for your children. And this first point may be already known by most of us. I think that most of us genuinely do care for our children. It's sad to see that many in the world, however, simply do not. Children are not important. Children are a hassle to them. You know, children get in the way of their lifestyle. And we would all say up front, yes, we love our children, but I believe in small ways, maybe that will affect us as well. But we need to be loving our children, thinking about our children. You know, our practice for what we do with our children and how we teach our children and train our children and the time that we spend with them, it really grows out of our value system. We will do what is good for children if we value them, if we love them and care for them. And that's why this is really the first point of the lesson. Jesus loved the children and saw the need to take time for them. And we need to be doing the same thing. Harry Truman said that children are our most valuable resource. And I believe that that is true. We need to understand that children are a blessing from God. Psalm 127 said, "Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of children." Yes, children bring responsibilities, but they also bring a great amount of joy and blessing. And that blessing comes from God. So the first point we need to realize is that we need to show care and concern and love for our children. We need to understand that they are a priority. If we will get that point first, I believe that will affect how we treat them and what we do with our children. Notice secondly that Jesus gave time. Jesus gave His time to children. I'm amazed at what Jesus was actually able to accomplish. Jesus was one that was extremely busy. He was going nonstop doing things, but He was a man that found time for prayer. He found time to be alone with God. He found time for children. He found time to meet with a Samaritan woman that the world really didn't care about. He found time to be with the crippled and lame. He found time to do all the things that we say that we're too busy for. You know, I'm too busy to pray. But Jesus didn't say those things. Now, He said to the disciples, "Let the children come to me." He saw the children as important. There is a tendency, as I already mentioned, to dismiss children. You know, we tend to focus on adult things, don't we? We have responsibilities to meet. We have deadlines. We have jobs to do. Jesus had responsibilities as well. He had all those things, but He made time for children. We need to give time to children as well. Sometimes giving time to children involves simply playing with them. Simply playing with them. Naomi, one of her favorite requests now, one she says quite often, simply, "Play with me. Play with me." You know, those words will kind of shake you a little bit when you're doing all your responsibilities, going about your tasks, deadlines, and jobs, and all the things that you need and have to do. You're reminded that children need our attention. You know, children don't understand that you pay the bills. In fact, they think that there's a limitless supply of money that comes with you. You know, you might tell them that costs money, and they say, "Well, that's okay. You know, that comes out of the bank or it comes out of your wallet. No big deal." You know, children don't understand all of those things like paying bills, but they do understand when you spend time with them. They do understand when you do the things that they want to do. Play with me. Sometimes, though, giving time to children involves including them in our activities. My wife does an excellent job at this. Whether it be a laundry or doing the dishes. And my first thought is, well, that's going to take longer if I slow down, you know, to help my children or allow them to help me. I can do the dishes faster if I simply go to the task. But Jessica takes Naomi and lets her put the clothes in the basket. She lets her get up there in the dishes, and even though she actually messes up more dishes than she helps at this age, she allows her to do that. See, we need to include our children in our activities. to show them that they can be a part of what we do. And children enjoy playtime, but they also enjoy doing those things with their parents. And as they get older, we need to take our children as we do various activities, involve them, include them, make them a part of our life. It's not that children are a hindrance that keep us from doing the things that we need to do, that we need to include them as we do that. Because really, what's more important? Getting a dish washed or teaching your child. You see, you can include your child in the various activities. And as they get older, you can take them to go visiting other people. You can be servants of those here at church, those that need your care, and you can take your children with you. You see, that teaches a powerful lesson. It teaches the child that they are important, but that they are important as we serve other people. Children need to be given our time. We need to include them in these tasks. One of the things that we need to give our time to children to do is to teach them. Teach them about God. Teach them about Jesus. We just saw here in this passage that Jesus cared for the children. He says that the kingdom of God is for such as these. Jesus loves for and cares for the children. And that's the message we need to give them. They should have a constant sense and knowledge of love. They should experience that from their parents. And they should also experience that as we tell them of what God has done for them, what Jesus has done for them. And we need to continue to let our children know that. Children are formative. They are a period of their lives where they are sponges, simply soaking up all that we can give them. And really, children are formed by both the good and the bad. You may have heard a psychiatrist as he begins to question an adult patient. Sometimes his questions will talk about what happened in the childhood. Many traumas grow out of what happened in childhood, because what happened to a child when they were young sticks with them. And that's not only true for what was bad, that's also true for what is good. And if we will teach our children what is good, show them what is good, they will carry that with them. They will carry that with them. It will shape who they are and how they understand the world. If we shower them with love and give them attention, they can better understand who God in heaven is, as He is the one that ultimately showers them with love. They have a good understanding of what love is. And you see how that will help them as they understand who God is, because God is love. We need to be teaching our children. We need to do this at various places in many ways. You might ask the question, where should we be teaching our children? Probably the answer to that is everywhere. One proverb said that it takes a village to raise a child. And I believe that's true. I believe we need to teach our children here at church. That's part of that village. Yes, we send our children to school and give them an education so that they can be able to grow up and have the knowledge and skills that they need. But we also need to be teaching them at church. That's why I appreciate the effort that's coming up this week right now. The summer Bible study, Vacation Bible School, the series, where as a church we focus on and think about teaching our children. I believe it's important that we teach our children. We place an emphasis on that. Children, there are children's songs that we can sing. You know, as I think about this, what better message for adults than Jesus loves me and that God is so good? We forget that at times. So there are so-called children's songs that I think that we even need to sing in the public assembly, because they're not just for children, but they are songs that children know and understand, and we can all learn from them. We need to be teaching the Bible to children. You know, the Bible is really geared for children and for teaching children. Every night, Naomi wants a bedtime story. She wants us to read a book to her. The Bible, in its essence, is a story, and it tells us these stories, and we can tell children these stories. And children, may not, from the very first telling, understand all the implications and everything that's going on with that. But as they grow older, they begin to understand more and more. And in fact, as we read through our daily Bible reading, I'm learning more and more things that I hadn't seen before. The Bible tells us many stories that make up a huge story of what God is doing for us. And we need to be teaching those stories to our children and tying meaning into those stories, telling them that God is so good. Those stories will reflect and cause them to think about how they live their life and how God is active today and showing them love as well and goodness. Children love stories, and we need to take advantage of that and tell them Bible stories. But children shouldn't just be taught at school or at church. Somebody of the name George Santayana said, "A child educated only at school is an uneducated child." If you restrict education to school or even the church when we come here as a group, that child is uneducated. I believe that tells us the importance of teaching our children at home. That's where we spend the most time with them, and that's where they are going to learn the most. Primary instruction should come from the home. And that should come in explicit teaching when we tell our children, talk to our children. But it should also come in our example. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a passage that was often repeated and still repeated among Jews today, but in the Old Testament, we see that this is a passage that has much importance for the Israelites. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." The first part of this passage really is the key command. When Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest command?" He responded with a statement of love, loving God. That contains the essence of what we need to do and who we need to be. We need to be people that seek God above all else. That's a very simple statement to say, but it's extremely hard to put into practice. To put God above everything else, that's what's required of us. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, with your entire being." We have a tendency to want to reserve little pockets for something else that we would put as most important, whether it be a hobby or family or something else. But the Bible says that we must love God above all else with our entire heart. We can't reserve a little bit of time for sin. We can't say that sin is just too enjoyable, I'm going to keep it there in my heart. God said, "You put God above all else. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." When we love God and put Him above all else, we are putting God's Word into our heart, and we're living out God's Word. Notice after this, he talks about teaching. And remember, these are not two separate sections. This is one section of Scripture. It says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." How can you teach a child this way? Now, I know it gives us some specific things, but how can you teach a child this way? This is not something you can send a child to school to learn. This is not something that you can put aside, 5 minutes a day, and that's all that you put to it. The only way that you can teach a child this way is if you make an honest effort of doing the first part of this passage. When you put God into your heart and make God every bit of your life, Only then can you continually talk about God to your children. Only then can you make it a part of every facet of your life. You see, if you're not making God a part of your heart and giving your heart completely to God, you are not going to talk about God on a continual basis. So maybe these things go hand in hand. If we're not talking about God throughout the week, if we're not thinking about God throughout the week, then there's a problem, isn't there? I believe we'd all say that we need to think more and give more. We don't reach a state where we say, okay, I've given my whole heart to God and that's it. No, that's a continual lifelong struggle of giving our heart to God. That's why I think that this passage of teaching our children is so difficult. It should strike us as so important. Because it's just not something we do for our children, but it's really something we have to do for ourselves. And that is what children will see most. They will see how we live our lives. They will see whether God is first in our life. They will see whether God is a priority or something else is a priority. Children see that and know that. And so I believe this passage tells us to teach our children explicitly, meaning tell them words. Tell them about God. But I think this passage also tells us something about our example and our entire lives. The passage says, make God a part of your life, every part of your life. When you do that, you can teach your children. What a difficult thing to do. And we need to be struck by the importance of this. And whether we'd have children or not, really this is the instruction for us, isn't it? Whether we'd be talking to our neighbors or friends or whoever it is, make God a part of your life. Be reminded of Him on a continual basis. Remember God. Think about God. Dwell upon God. Pray without ceasing doesn't mean that we have to sit down in a prayer position and pray 24 hours a day. No, it means that we are talking to God throughout the day. We have a continual attitude of reflection and thought about God. And we speak to Him on a regular basis. So we see the importance of this passage. Give your heart to God. As we do that, we teach our children that they need to do the same thing. Give your heart to God. Notice Timothy. He was a man that grew up having a good background. He was taught the things of God. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul said to Timothy that I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. You know, it should be no surprise how that faith went from the grandmother to the mother to the child. That faith was passed on. That faith was taught. That faith was lived so that Timothy could see that. So that Timothy could believe and trust in God. Later in this book, in chapter 3 and verse 14, there Paul again says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It will always be a child's choice whether they will obey God or not. But they are given an extreme advantage if we will all teach our children about God and His goodness. They'll have a better opportunity to see that lived out in their lives. Just as Timothy was taught, the things that would be able to make him wise. You know, if I just made that simple statement, teach your children the things that make them wise. Many people might choose school and studies and things like that. But here the passage refers to the things of God. They are truly what will make one wise. And that is what we need to teach our children. Let me notice one other point. In Matthew chapter 18, just a few verses before this, there's a parallel passage in Mark chapter 10. And it actually mentions, after Jesus says, let the children come to me, he says that you can be taught by children. And that's reflected here also in Matthew 18. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Notice that when they were asking about who is the greatest, Jesus put a child before them. And Jesus says that you can learn from children. I've been talking a great deal about teaching our children. But I think we need to also take time and reflect and think about the fact that we can be taught by our children. We can be taught by our children. Children make us slow down and realize what is most important. Remember, we've got all those adult things to do, those responsibilities, timelines, those jobs, things we've got to accomplish and complete. Life is not about deadlines. This life is not about completing the most jobs. On our deathbed, we're not going to reflect and say, you know, I washed the dishes, you know, 9,000 times. You're not going to say, I was able to mow the yard these many thousands of times. I was not able to complete this many jobs. Life is not about that. I'm not saying ignore responsibilities. I'm not saying forego those things. But I am saying put them in the proper perspective. And children allow us to do that. The good things in life do not consist of our job and our bank account. The good things in life consist of relationships. First and foremost, our relationship with God. But also our relationship with our family. Our relationship with our friends. Our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Those are the good things in life. And we need to stop and reflect on that. We need to take time for that and know that they are the good things. And if those are the good things, then they require our time and attention. As we raise our children, we need to learn from them as well that we need to grow. Jesus placed a child before the disciples and said, "This is the greatest. Learn from this child." And he said in Matthew chapter 18, there that unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Children have an innocence about them. Children have a humility about them that we need to learn from. Sometimes we grow out of that. But the truth is, we need to regain that humility as we approach our God. Yes, there's a time for maturing. There's a time for growth and growing up and meeting responsibilities and all those things. But we should never forget the simple things in life and the fact that we are creatures of God, the fact that we have been made by God. And so as we see qualities in children, we can learn from them. The more time you spend with them, the more you're going to be reminded of the areas where you need to grow. One person said that we can learn a lot from children, especially how patient you are. And sometimes that's true as well. We need to focus and think about all of these things. We need to teach our children and spend time doing that. And as I mentioned, this week is a perfect opportunity to do that here as a congregation and as a church. But that shouldn't be the only place that we teach our children. We need to be teaching our children all of the time. And we can only do that if we give our whole hearts to God and serve Him completely, as best as we possibly can. We're not teaching our children that we are perfect. No, we need to be upfront and honest with our children that we too make mistakes. But what we're striving for is to please God. What is most important is to please God. And we can better please God if we will learn from our children as well. Learn the qualities that we need to have. I've not talked to you this morning about what it takes to become a Christian, but I believe that Jesus addressed that in Matthew chapter 18. He says that we need to turn. We need to turn and become like children. Approaching God involves our heart and giving our whole heart to God. It involves a turning away from sin, turning away from selfishness. And what we're doing is turning unto Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven by which men might be saved other than Jesus Christ. We need to believe that He is the Savior. We need to put our faith in Him and in the work of God and what God has done. We need to understand that Jesus died on the cross for us. That sacrifice demands our whole life, that we would give our life to God, that we would confess that He is the Christ, that we would live our lives according to His will and not our own, that we would submit to baptism so that we might be washed in water for the forgiveness of sins. But not only washed, but raised. Raised out of the water, living and committed to a new life. If there's someone subject to the invitation this morning, give serious thought to your life. There's nothing more important than your relationship to God. If there's any subject to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing at this time.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er